Let's begin tonight by turning to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3, and we're going to look at Genesis 3 and verse 15. We're looking at particular laws of biblical interpretation. Last week we saw the law of first mention, and we of course were in Genesis chapter number 3 looking at that, the law of first mention. Well, tonight we're going to see some examples of the second law, and that's the law of progressive mention. And the law of progressive mention states that revelation concerning any given subject is made increasingly clear as the Bible unfolds. Just makes sense. The more you see as you move along chronologically in the Bible, and that's important, as you move along chronologically, you will build upon the previous knowledge. And from the first mention of a subject to the last mention of a subject, there is a progress of revelation. God's initial statement on any matter is built upon by subsequent references in other portions of the Scripture. Now, when I say it's a progress of revelation, don't get that confused with progressive revelation. We don't believe in progressive revelation, okay? In the sense that some do, that is that, you know, there are some who believe that God is continuing to give revelation even today. And that's incorrect. The Bible that we have contains the whole of God's revelation to us. God is giving continuous illumination, okay? There may be a passage of Scripture that you never understood before, but now you understand it. This light turns on, you know? And that happens even to your preacher every now and then. You know, even after I've been a Bible student for many, many years, there are certain things where the light gets turned on by the Lord's Holy Spirit, and it's that continuous illumination, but it's not a continuous revelation. Okay, the Bible was once delivered, and when it was complete. Now we're going to give some examples of this law. I know, we had quite a few missionary letters tonight that we read. So this portion, thankfully, this is a shorter law that we're looking at, and we're gonna take it as far as we can tonight, and then we'll have the baptism. But we may cut it a little bit short, being as we had so many missionary letters come in, and let you look at these examples on your own. So just keep that in mind. But we see some examples of this law. First of all, prophecies concerning the birth of Christ. Now, you know, when we talk about the birth of Christ during the Christmas season, you'll hear a lot of terms that we use. A lot of references to the Lord Jesus Christ being the seed of the woman, the seed of Abraham, and all these things that you hear. We see all of this comes unveiled in Scripture, like one step at a time. We mention it at the end because it's a full revelation of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. We know the prophecies concerning the birth of Christ began way back in Genesis 3 and verse 15 here in the Garden of Eden. And this is the first promise of the Redeemer. It's the Lord God said, I will put enmity between thee, talking to the serpent, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Now, so you notice that the wording of that, her seed, okay? Is the woman the one that has a seed? The man has a seed. Well, see, this is talking about the virgin birth. Okay? The virgin birth. Her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Then we understand that Christ is also the seed of Abraham. That's important there in Genesis chapter number 12, verse number 2 and 3. The Abrahamic covenant that the Lord established with Abraham. Look at Genesis 12 and verse number 2. And the Lord said to him, and I will make of thee, a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now see how all families of the earth be blessed is that God provided a Savior. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's a blessing to the earth. Not everybody gets in on that blessing, do they? Because you got to believe. But it's available to them. It's available. And so we have there this he's the seed of Abraham. He's also the seed of Isaac. Look at Genesis 21 and verse number 10. Genesis 21 and verse number 10. So, wherefore she said unto Abraham, this is Sarah speaking, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And one thing that we learned coming through this book, and also as you compare it to the New Testament in Galatians chapter number 4, hold your place there. Look at Galatians chapter number 4. And we'll go right back, okay? Galatians chapter number 4, look at verse number 28 through 31 here. And Paul said, now we, brethren, talking about believers in Christ, we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. God said, I'm going to give you a seed, and it's going to come from you and Sarah. And they are both of them up in age. They had no children at that point, other than when the Lord gave that promise. They had no children. We know that the child of the flesh was Ishmael, and that was Sarah talking of Abraham and to doing it by the flesh rather than just trusting God. And it didn't work out well. In fact, it's still not working out well. If you look over in the Middle East, you can tell it's still not working out well. All that trouble that's out there is that friction between the seed of Isaac and also the seed of Ishmael. Now look at verse number 28. It says, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. Even so it is now. Ishmael persecuted Isaac. And those that are lost persecute Christians. Look at verse 30. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Now, back in Genesis 26 and verse number 4. Genesis 26 and verse number 4. And this is the Lord speaking to Isaac. He said, I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So the blessing came through Abraham's seed. Which seed, though, of Abraham? It came through Isaac, a particular seed of Abraham. Then we see Genesis 25 and verse number 23, and it talks here about when the children of Isaac were born. Look at Genesis 25, verse 23. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Then look at chapter 28 and verse number 4. Chapter 28, verse number 4. Let's look at verse 3 and 4. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. So, you got Abraham, you got Isaac, particular child of Isaac was Jacob, that God was going to give this promise through. And then you get down to Jacob's seed. Judah was the one that was chosen. And I look at Genesis chapter number 49. Genesis 49 and verse number 10. Genesis 49 and verse number 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. So Judah was chosen for the line of the kings to come through. And that includes David, and it also includes Jesus. Amen. Look at David mentioned in 2 Samuel chapter number 7. 2 Samuel chapter number 7. And begin reading verse number 12. 2 Samuel 7. Verse number 12 says, and when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And notice this, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that will eventually be the fulfillment of that verse number 16, when he takes the throne there and in Jerusalem, and he does rule forever and ever. Amen. Let's take a look at Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 7:14. Talking about prophecies concerning the birth of Christ. Isaiah 7:14. This is probably one of the more familiar verses. We hear it every year as we approach Christmas. And as fast as this year is going, you blink a few times and Christmas is going to be upon us. It's hard to believe we're already in May right now. But here we are. But Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. Okay, so there's a clearer indication of the virgin birth than Genesis 3:15, even though it was intimated in Genesis 3:15. But here it is specifically said that he would be born of a virgin. And then look at Micah, little book of Micah, chapter number 5. Micah chapter number 5. Yeah, I fumble around for it too. Jonah, Micah, Nahum. If you can find any of those before or after, you can zero in on the book. Micah 5, verse 2 says here, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. Notice, whose goings forth have been from old, from of old, from everlasting. There you can see the Word was made flesh, amen, and dwelt among us. The Word which was with God and the Word that is God was made flesh at that point. Some people erroneously believe that Jesus had His beginning at Bethlehem. Now, He was eternally, He's eternal God. He eternal eternity past. He was with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And we see here that the place of birth is given as Bethlehem. And of course, that was what made, when you read story of Christmas and how the Lord used Caesar Augustus to make sure that this was going to happen. Amen. They had to go to Bethlehem. And because that's where He was supposed to be born. And it happened right at the time that she was ready to be delivered. Then you got the time of birth. You turn back to Daniel chapter number 9. Daniel 9 and verse number 25. Daniel 9 verse number 25. It says there, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off." And He gives some very clear indications here of these things with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ's birth and His being cut off, His death being buried. All right, well, we're gonna leave off there. That's a good place to leave off. I've given you also there the sacrificial lamb as an example. I didn't think that we would get to there. But you'll see there, if you'll take and study Genesis 4, and you'll see that this mirrors the Lord Jesus Christ. The sacrifice that Abel sacrificed in Genesis 4 was accepted by the Lord, so he got an acceptable offering. Jesus Christ is an acceptable offering. Genesis 22, we had got Abraham ready to take his son's life. God provides a substitute, the ram caught in the thicket. Jesus Christ is the substitutionary offering. Exodus 12, the Passover. Remember, the blood had to be applied to the doorpost, you know, and in order for the death angel not to visit there or to pass over that particular dwelling. An applied offering. The blood of Jesus must be applied to your life. And we do that by repentance and faith. Amen. That's how it's applied in our life. We turn from our sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He does that. And then, identified offering. Remember, John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." He knew who all the lambs pointed to. And that was Christ. All right. Miss Jamie's going to go back and get ready, and I'm fixing to go back and get ready, and we're going to do this baptism. And while we're doing that, I'm going to ask Brother Wood to offer our prayer tonight.